Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome to Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in for the sort of vacationing Ryan Recker. Glad you're with us this evening. You've heard me before. Brad Young, you know my law firm, Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young. I'm in a lot of times in the morning, fill in for Recker. I also sweep up occasionally on the evenings, and I wash the dishes on the weekends at Camel X. Whatever they need, here I am. And I'm glad that you are with us this evening. And again, Ryan Recker is out, but it's interesting. Him and producer Mike Anderson, they actually went to the game tonight. And you, if you've listened to Overnight America, which I know that you do, they've been promoting this for quite a while. And the setup was Recker came from Detroit. He grew up a Detroit fan. And so he went to the game tonight wearing, I can't believe he did this, he was wearing a Detroit Red Wings jersey to a Blues game. But he was, you know, doing it reluctantly because him and Anderson had a bet. And Anderson was dressed head to toe in Blues regalia. And so they went to the game and they've got this bet going. And they've been arguing for, my goodness, 3 weeks about what are they going to do to resolve this bet. And so that's been the running issue between Recker and Mike Anderson. What do they do? And so I suggested that the loser should have to eat octopi raw on the air, because if you follow hockey at all, you know that Red Wings fans like to throw octopi onto the ice rink at home games. So I thought that'd be great. They could eat raw octopi on the air, and that would be the loser. That would be the wager that the loser has to do. But now that neither one of them really liked that idea, I think Anderson told me that he's got an aversion to salmonella, so he said no. But one of the things that they're working on here is Mike is trying to put together a rap song that Recker is going to have to sing, and it's going to go something like this.
I don't know how to rap. I rap right down to the city. And I've been there, you say, you can't rap, Bobo. Hey, hey, yeah, I can. I went with the rappers were, and they were rapping away. And guess what? I seen drawings all over the place for Bobo. Don't say I can't rap. Bobo know how to rap. Now, Bobo, would you rap too? I rapped and danced. And guess what Bobo did? I slid right down to a church. Now, you didn't go to church. I did. I rapped right down to Church Street. Bobo, no. I did a little different work.
Wow. You know, that just leaves me speechless, literally and figuratively. So at some point, Recker is going to be doing a rap that'll sound something like that. And so I know you're going to want to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, one of the things we're going to get into this evening, and we've got lots of stuff to talk about. And after this break that's coming up in about a minute, when we come back, we're going to talk to the attorney that's representing the, and we've all seen the story, the guy who was a subcontractor for Amazon. His name is Jalen Walker, and he was shot last week in St. Charles. And so I know his attorney, so I called him up and I said, hey, why don't we just arrange to come on tonight and talk about this litigation, about what goes into the litigation like this, how's the guy doing, and how do you prove damages, and what do you do if there's no insurance? I mean, we're going to get into a lot of these kinds of issues after the break, because to me it's fascinating that as we see how litigation actually moves forward, and we're going to see that with this Jalen Walker case, because this is going to play out in the media over the next 18 months to 2 years. So you're going to have a firsthand view of how this happens. So after the break, we're going to talk to Mark Cantor. He's the attorney for Jalen Walker. And we're going to get to the nuts and bolts of the Jalen Walker Amazon shooting litigation case. Again, I'm Brad Young, filling in for Ryan Recker. I'm glad you're here on Camo X. We'll be back with more Overnight America right after this. Welcome back to Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in for the vacationing Ryan Recker, and I'm glad you're with us this evening. And since you are the most informed audience in radio in St. Louis. I know that you're familiar with the situation involving Jalen Walker. He's the individual who on March the 5th was shot in an altercation with an individual in a parking lot in St. Charles. And I have on the line today Mark Cantor. And Mark is the attorney who is representing Mr. Jalen Walker in the civil action that's been filed in St. Charles County. Mark Cantor, welcome to KMOX.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. The reason I wanted to have you on today was just to talk about the situation involving Mr. Walker. And most of us have seen or certainly read about the tragedy, because it is a tragedy. And your client, Mr. Walker, he was driving a delivery van for an Amazon contractor. Is that right?
Yes, he was driving for a subcontractor named Courier Express One. And he was actually going to do what's called a rescue. So he had a coworker that was behind schedule, and Jalen went to assist him to make his Amazon deliveries on time. So that's how all this arose. They agreed to meet at the Target in St. Charles, and they did that. And Jalen had to go in to use the facilities, the bathroom, and he had to buy a charger for his navigation system so that he could assist in making these deliveries. And when he returned to his car, the defendant in our civil case, a man named Larry Stephen Tomlinson, was videoing him, had the camera in his face, you know, had waited for him and was posting those things to public media.
Okay, well, I want to break down some of the facts in just a moment, Mark, but what I want to get to is to clarify what I think, and of course, I'm an attorney, and you and I are usually on the opposite sides, Mark, and so, because as you know, I'm on the defense side and you're a plaintiff's attorney, but I want to break down some of the information so that folks have a better understanding of what really transpired here. And as I've read most of the news reports, they've stated that Mr. Walker was an independent contractor, which I don't believe is technically correct. You mentioned he was an employee of a company called Courier Express One. Is that correct?
That is true. That's part of our petition that we filed, yes.
Right. So in this situation, although he certainly wasn't an employee of Amazon, he was an employee of Courier Express One.
Correct.
Now, and you've kind of given us an overview as to what happened. And you mentioned it a moment ago, and I've also read your pleadings that you filed in St. Charles Circuit Court. You mentioned that Mr. Tomlinson was recording video or possibly even streaming on social media at the beginning of the incident. Do you think there's any chance, or have you had any indication as to whether or not that video might someday be available or to be obtainable through the discovery process?
I believe it will be. That's one of the reasons we filed a lawsuit. We also filed what's called a Freedom of Information Act request, a FOIA request, with the St. Charles Police Department so that we could secure video not only that was posted on Facebook or social media, but also from the Target video cameras that we believed filmed the entire event. So, yes, I believe that it will be possible to secure those things during discovery.
And one of the things, and I'm not asking this in the context of the Jalen Walker case, but generally speaking, in situations where there might be video available, there's an issue, a legal issue called spoliation of evidence. What generally is spoliation of evidence? And again, generally not regarding necessarily Mr. Walker, but what steps do you take as an attorney to make sure that evidence like video isn't destroyed, lost, or erased?
Well, we send out what's called a spoliation letter. So spoliation is the destruction either intentionally or negligently of evidence that will be material to a civil case in this case. So if it was a typical, let's say, car accident and you came into Cantor injury law and you said, you know, the other person was on their phone texting, we would send the defendant, the other driver that hit you, a spoliation letter saying, you know, we believe that you were on your phone, preserve your phone number, and your phone records. And, you know, sometimes people will, for instance, want to go and change phones and then pretend that they don't know their old phone number. So we're trying to get ahead of that. And the reason you do that is to get a presumption from the court. If that evidence is later gone, you can say, hey, listen, you know, we sent a letter. This happened to Mr. Walker on March 5th. You know, we sent our letters out immediately afterwards,
sure,
saying preserve these things. And that's what spoliation is. It's the destruction of evidence that will be useful in the case, either purposefully or negligently. So you're saying, hey, save these things.
Right. And that's obviously important, especially today in the age where you really can't swing a dead cat without hitting four video cameras anywhere you go. So the spoliation thing is going to become more and more a part of civil litigation, isn't it?
It is, and it has. And you know, like you said, you and I are usually on opposite sides in Missouri workers' compensation. So, there's actually legislation on it. And now in workers' compensation, for instance, we send a certified letter requesting all statements that include recordings. And the purpose for that is sometimes insurance companies will, if you say you have a shoulder injury, for instance, and they have you video fast pitch baseball, that will hurt your case. But frequently that video might show that you, in fact, do have a shoulder injury and it's not available for the claimant to review. So,
sure.
We want to see it, whether it's, normally, whether it's helpful or harmful in the discovery process, we want to know that it exists and mm-hmm. be able to evaluate it.
Well,
so that's.
Let's get back to Mr. Walker for a moment, because you mentioned that there was this encounter in the parking lot and Mr. Tomlinson was recording this in some fashion. What happened after that?
Mr. Tomlinson was asked to put the recording down and he refused, and he said he was going to call the police. And Mr. Walker said, go ahead and call the police. And obviously, we think that Mr. Tomlinson should have put the camera down and called the police and not shot him like a coward in the spine. My client was actually running away. But what happened next was...
Well, let's focus on that just a moment, Mark, because this is the part, as I reviewed your pleadings, this is the part that I have not seen covered in any other area, whether it's been television, print, or radio. And in your pleadings that you filed, Mark, you mentioned that your client turned and started to run away when he was shot in the back. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what happened. I mean, this is a crime against humanity. I mean, who does that, right? My client first put his hands up and started to walk backwards and then turned and ran. And he had actually run a few steps in the opposite direction when the defendant Tomlinson shot him in the spine. And the other thing that's not in the news, Brad, is that he then walked past him coldly and stared at him.
Mm.
And then he went shoe shopping. We believe that that's what the evidence will show. That's what our client's going to testify to. And there's other witnesses there. So this was an act of cold blood. And, obviously I represent Jalen Walker in the civil case, but there's a criminal case and there's actually a bond reduction hearing. And although my client has forgiven the criminal defendant for shooting him in the spine, we're not going to forget. We think he's a danger to society, and that we think he's in the right place now, which is in jail as a pretrial detainee mm-hmm. For the felony that he committed.
We're talking right now to attorney Mark Cantor, who represents Jalen Walker in that shooting incident. We've all seen it with regard to it was purported as the Amazon driver, and we've talked about how he was just a subcontractor for Amazon, but that's what the news media has been generally reporting, and I'm really thankful that Mark Cantor can be joining us today to talk about it. Back to Mr. Walker. How is he doing physically? I mean, at this point, we've seen the reports. He's in the hospital. There's some paralysis. What's his prognosis at this point in time?
Well, unfortunately, the paralysis is permanent. The bullet is actually in his spinal column, and he's paralyzed from about the stomach down. So this is a permanent paralysis with a complete severing of the nerve, without no medicine available now can rehabilitate him. So he's likely paralyzed his entire life. We did file a workers' compensation claim to assist him in his rehabilitation and recovery, but he will likely be paralyzed forever.
And if folks right now wanted to help, obviously to help Mr. Walker, how could they go about doing that? In other words, how can they reach out and help Mr. Walker in his current situation?
So Cantor Injury Law has assisted with a GoFundMe that the Walker family has put out. And I don't know the GoFundMe name exactly, but it is on the Cantor Injury Law Facebook page. It's raised, I think it was $65,000 the last time I checked. And that money is obviously necessary. Mr. Walker is 21 years old. He's paralyzed for life, and he has a one-year-old son. And, you know, he was taking care of that one-year-old and being financially responsible and a productive member of our society. And now he won't be because he, you know, like I said, was shot in the spine by this coward. Any contributions would be helpful. Certainly the workers' compensation benefits would not be sufficient when it pays two-thirds of your wages. But he's going to be paralyzed and need money forever. And unfortunately, this criminal defendant likely won't have sufficient funds. You know, we've sued him, but, you know, let's say you go and you get, you know, even $1 million. What's the likelihood of collecting even a dollar?
Sure. And that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Again, we're talking to attorney Mark Cantor. And generally speaking, and let's move beyond Mr. Walker for just a moment, because I want to talk in the couple of minutes that we have left about the nuts and bolts of civil litigation. Obviously, I find this fascinating, and I know a lot of folks do too. But in this situation, or in the situation generally, where a plaintiff gets a multi-million dollar or a great big verdict against a defendant, an individual defendant, not a corporation, if there's no insurance coverage for that generally, how likely is there of the chance of the plaintiff recovering anything against an individual when insurance doesn't cover it?
Very, very unlikely. So unless the person is independently wealthy, you know, this was an intentional tort, meaning that it was done purposely, although we did claim some negligence, because negligent things are generally covered by insurance, whereas purposeful things are not. So, if you do something purposely, it cannot be discharged in bankruptcy. Negligent acts can be, but purposeful ones cannot be. So, you know, a lot of times in a car accident, if someone doesn't have insurance and they were negligent, you're never going to collect. Mm-hmm. You can get a judgment, but it's very, very difficult to collect. Now, if the person has a lot of money, let's say that, oh, you know, they own this home and it's worth $500,000. Well, you know, they normally own that in two names. It's the husband and wife, or it's in some type of trust, or it's restricted in some way. It makes it very hard to collect from that asset if it's an individual person's negligence and the asset is owned in two names. It's very, very hard to do. And, you know, Cantor Injury Law normally collects from insurance companies. I've been doing this for 25 years, and it's been on rare occasion that we've been able to collect from a negligent individual. And of course, this was likely an intentional act. I doubt that we'll be able to collect. The media likes to say, oh, it's, you know, they're filed a lawsuit and they've asked for punitive damages, which is true. But, you know, collecting it is another thing. So let's say you get a $10 million judgment. Yeah, you're probably not getting anything.
So in this situation, you filed against Mr. Tomlinson in St. Charles. Just briefly, how long do you think this will take before it actually goes to trial, if it goes to trial?
You know, it can take a while. It's going to take at least a year. We filed a lawsuit immediately. I think that in very serious injury cases, a good personal injury law firm will do that right away, because you get the benefits of the law and what's called discovery, and you avoid things like you said, spoilation, where evidence disappears. So on large trucking cases, it's the practice of Cantor Injury Law to file a lawsuit right away. In this case, we filed a lawsuit right away to get the video and to proceed as early as possible, because we know Mr. Walker's damages. He's paralyzed.
Sure.
That's unlikely to change. So it's going to be a long, drawn-out process, but I think Jalen deserves justice from the criminal system. Although he's forgiven them, we're fully supportive of the St. Charles Prosecutor's Office in saying that Mr. Tomlinson gets what he deserves criminally. And civilly, he's hired us at Cantor Injury Law to pursue the case, and we'll do that. I'll do whatever it takes to get him a judgment, a verdict. Even if we don't collect, I think he deserves that, and that's what I intend to do for him.
Thank you, Mark Cantor. And again, we're talking to Mark Cantor, personal injury attorney who's representing Jalen Walker. If folks want to get a hold of you, Mark, how can they do that?
You know, the best way is to visit us at our website, which is cantorinjurylaw.com, or our Facebook page, which is at Cantor Injury Law. Cantor Injury Law is located at 270 Nowell. They can call me. 314-628-9999. I am now on spring break because, as St. Louis knows, now it's the spring break time for our kiddos. But, you know, I'll return as many calls as I can.
Great. Mark, hey, thanks for being on with us tonight on Camo X.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
You know, I've known Mark a long time, and I'm really glad that he came on to talk about this because he gave us some information that simply is not available anywhere else. You've not read anywhere about the fact that he was an employee, that he actually probably has workers' compensation coverage, and the issue about being shot in the back. It's a tragedy, but I'm glad that Mark was available to come on with us tonight. We're going to talk about other legal-related stuff, go figure, when we come back from this break, but we've got lots of things on tap this evening. We're going to be opening up the phone lines here shortly and get your opinions on Trump signing the campus free speech order, issues dealing with the number one dog in the country, lots of issues, not dogs and cats living together, but we're going to talk about the favorite dog in our country. Brad Young, sitting in for the vacationing Ryan Recker. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Camo X. Brad Young, sitting in for Ryan Recker. And we've got some more legal issues to talk about this evening, and I'll preview that for you in just a moment. But there were two stories that came out today, literally just before we came on the air this evening after the Blues game. And I wanted to mention this because I would like to open up the phone lines if you'd like to comment on a couple of these stories. The first is that President Trump, he signed an interesting executive order today. And if you've got an opinion on this, I'd like to hear it. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And here's the order. You know, there's been this issue. It's really been going on for a couple of years now on college campuses. I've got two kids on college campuses at the moment, and a third that'll be there in a couple of years. So this is an issue that I've followed very closely. And the issue is, you know, if you go on a college campus and dare say something that's conservative, kind of leaning to the right, I mean, people start rioting. They're throwing trash cans into cars, setting cars on fire. It's like, oh, my goodness, our precious ears can't hear that. And so one of the things that President Trump did today, he said he was going to do this a couple of weeks ago, and he actually did it just before airtime this evening. And that is, he signed an executive order directing federal agencies to ensure that any college or university receiving research grants, they have to agree to promote free inquiry and free speech and follow federal rules and regulations supporting free speech. And so, of course, lots of folks came out. I was reading some of the social media this evening about how the tweet storm, oh, this is terrible, it's outrageous, how can the president do that? But it's interesting that no one is saying, to a large measure, I didn't see any of the reaction disputing the problem. In other words, no one disagrees, at least not in large measure, that college campuses are bastions of liberalism. And if you come on campus and say something conservative, there's going to be rioting and there's going to be, you know, like I said, cars set on fire. It's going to look like downtown Ferguson a few years ago, just because Ann Coulter is going to give a speech, or Ben Shapiro, or Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson, even today, was denied the opportunity to speak at a college campus because, oh my goodness, people were going to protest because their ears couldn't bear to hear what he had to say. And so I think it's interesting that President Trump signed that executive order. And of course, there's going to be a big legal issue about whether that executive order is even enforceable or not. And I know the lawyers will get involved, which is something I'm always happy about because, you know, everyone likes to make fun of the lawyers, but lawyers got to eat, too. And so I'm glad that they're going to get involved. But the non-legal issue, and I'll prep another story here in a moment, but the non-legal issue that came up today, and I don't know if you're a dog lover or not. I've always had a dog. I've loved dogs. I've grown up with dogs. I've got dogs in the house. And so it was interesting that the rankings came out today, according to the American Kennel Club, and they ranked the most popular dog in America. Now, if you wanted to place a wager, not like the Ryan Recker, Mike Anderson wager, but if you wanted to place a wager on what kind of dog is the most popular dog, what would you say? And I know you're going to say Labrador Retriever, because this is the 28th year in a row that the Labrador Retriever has come out on top. It's the most I don't know. Can I say this? It's the most popular dog in America. That's the Labrador Retriever. So let's look at the others. And if you've got your favorite, I mean, what's your favorite breed of dog? And I've got a lab mix, so obviously I'm a little biased. My last dog was a lab mix. My previous dog to that, yes, was a lab mix. The other breeds that finished in the top five, German Shepherds, Golden Retrievers, French Bulldogs, and regular Bulldogs. Now, do the French Bulldogs have an accent? I don't know if they bark and they go, oh, oh, oh. I don't know if they do that. I don't know. I've never owned a French Bulldog, so well, I'll have to ask somebody and see if that's really what they do. The other dogs in the top 10 were Beagles, Poodles, Rottweilers, German Short-Haired Pointers, and Yorkshire Terriers. I was looking to see if there was a St. Bernadoodle dog on the top. I didn't see that. I don't know if that's a poodle and a St. Bernard mix. I think they're called St. Bernadoodles. I don't know. I've never really seen one. Because anytime, I'm in my 50s, and I grew up watching cartoons. And, you know, anytime there was a St. Bernard shown in a cartoon, they always had that little flask of whiskey under their chin, and they would go rescue stranded skiers. And I even remember as a kid thinking, If you're a stranded skier, don't you need something more than whiskey? I don't know. Maybe it was just me, but they always portrayed the dogs having that. So I don't know what a St. Bernadoodle even looks like, but it didn't make the top 10, so nobody cares apparently but me. So there's those two issues, and I also have to tell you this quick story about my dog. We had a beloved dog in my family, and she was a black lab, and she passed away. And so I got my girls together, and I have three girls. I have all sisters. Most of my law firm employees are female, and I have all sisters. So, yes, I do the backstroke and estrogen every single day. But I gathered my girls together after my first dog passed away, and I said, let's go get another dog at the Humane Society, but we can't get another black lab because we just had this one pass away, and you're never going to replace Domino. So let's go find a different kind of dog. So we go into the Humane Society. We look at all the dogs they have. And, of course, all three of my daughters said, Dad, we want this dog. And I guess what kind of dog it was? Yes, it was a black lab. So then the second black lab, we have her for years and years and years. She passes away. Have the same process. Gather our kids together. I say, girls, let's go in and find another dog. You can't get a black lab. Let's find a different kind of dog because we don't want to. You know, we don't want to try to compete with the prior two black labs because that just is not going to happen. And so let's go find a different kind of dog. And once again, we walked out with a black lab. So, yes, I'm on my third black lab in a row, and love them to death. But I don't know what your favorite would be, but for the 28th year in a row, it was the black lab leading the charge, as it were, according to the American Kennel Club. The other things we're going to talk about as the evening unfolds, and I'm really glad that you're staying up with us this evening on Camel X, is there's a big issue that's just come up this week about self-driving cars, or also called autonomous cars. And there's some polling data that's come out that I want to go through, talking about how comfortable are you riding in an autonomous vehicle or a self-driving car. In other words, if the car just pulls up in front of your house tomorrow and somebody says, hop in, and there's nobody behind the wheel, how comfortable would you be getting behind or getting in a car that's, you know, driven by Commander Data from Star Trek? I mean, there's nobody driving this thing. And would you be comfortable doing that? So we're going to look at some polling data, but it's interesting that at the same time this polling data comes out about self-driving cars, There was a legal issue that was actually a lawsuit just filed this week, and it involves an accident that happened about a year ago. And I'll break this down after the break. But you remember there was a pedestrian that was killed in Tempe, Arizona last year. There was a self-driving Uber car that ran over a pedestrian. The pedestrian was in a crosswalk. The Uber self-driving car didn't see it. The guy who was supposed to be the emergency backup driver, he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And someone was struck and killed. And so the family just this week filed a lawsuit against the city of Tempe and also the state of Arizona, alleging negligence and alleging lots of things. I'm going to break that down for you, because one of the things that I've been talking about for years is how do we handle the liability associated with self-driving cars? I mean, if two self-driving cars hit each other, who sues whom? I mean, who handles that? So when we come back from this break, I'm going to go through some of that. We'll talk more about the Trump free speech order. We'll talk about the Black Labs and the American Kennel Club voting results today. I don't know if that went to the Electoral College or not, but that's even going to come up this evening, probably in the next hour. So I'm glad that you're with us this evening. Brad Young filling in on Overnight America. We'll be right back. Welcome back to KMOX. I forgot to mention, today is my father-in-law's 90th birthday. He turned 90 today, and I want to mention that because if you would ask Ruth Bader Ginsburg about my father-in-law's 90th birthday, she would probably refer to him as a young whippersnapper because, you know, she was very instrumental in the Abraham Lincoln administration, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was. So in any event, though, my father-in-law was not. He's only 90, but God bless him. 90 is a great birthday, and I'm certain that he's not listening because just like any 90-year-old, I think he eats dinner at 4:30 p.m. and starts to hit the sack about 8:30. So, Emil, God bless you. Glad you're still with us, and happy birthday, my friend. We did open up the phones this evening, and Joy's been holding through the break. Joy, welcome to KMOX.
Oh, thank you very, very much. Now you've given me more information that I can talk on.
What's on your mind?
First of all, I'm glad Mr. Trump did what he did because we have heathens out there that no matter what you do, they'll burn a car, you know. So hopefully people with other views can say them without being, you know, hassled.
Well, you know, there's that other big issue, Joy. You know, anytime a liberal speaks on a college campus, there's rioting and there's fight. Oh, wait, no, there's never any rioting when the liberals speak.
No, there's never.
No, there's never. What am I thinking? There's never any rioting. And in fact, it's a situation where when a liberal speaks on campus, everybody says, you know, congratulations. They're all speaking the same language. But you let Ann Coulter or Ben Shapiro or Jordan Peterson try to show up on campus and the place goes nuts. It goes crazy. So,
well,
so you're in favor.
You're
in favor of this. You're in favor of this type of executive order, even if it. Even if it denies some research funds to universities?
I think they have too many research funds, okay? I think they have too much. Maybe they just ought to go to education.
Well, that's a good perspective.
Sorry.
And anything else? What else? You said there were a couple of things on your mind. What else is on your mind, Joy?
Well, the Black Lab. I
yes.
have two rescues.
Good
and
for you. What kind of dogs are? What kind of dogs are they, Joy?
Well, we don't know,
because
the little girl has the body of a Cocker Spaniel and the head of a Chihuahua, you know.
Wow.
And my other one looks like a miniature.
That's going to haunt me. That's going to haunt me this evening, Joy. That's a very odd mix.
Yeah, it is. She is. And my other one looks like a miniature golden retriever with Shar-Pei skin.
Wow. And you, well, you get an A for finding the unique animals.
Yes, and I love them both. And happy birthday to your father-in-law.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate you calling in this evening. Thank you for listening.
Well, you have a great one, okay?
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The other thing that's, we've talked a lot about it, a lot of legal issues this evening, and that's something I certainly enjoy doing. But one of the other legal issues that's come up, and I'm going to highlight this and probably get into it a little bit more detail in the next hour. But if you've paid attention to any of the candidates who are running for president, changing the Constitution and the election laws of our country is apparently now as popular as parachutes on a Boeing 737, because every single presidential candidate running on the Democrat ticket is talking about changing the Constitution. I made a list here, a short list, but these are some of the things that are being discussed right now. They're talking about, Nancy Pelosi talked about that yesterday, lowering the voting age to 16. Lowering the voting age to 16. So most 16-year-olds today, at least when I turned 16, I wanted to go out and get my license immediately, but that's not the same as now as it was then. A lot of kids wait because for whatever reason they don't get their driver's license. And so if they're concerned about driving a car, but yet Nancy Pelosi wants them to be able to vote at age 16. I don't know. When I was 16, I want to be honest with you, I was a moron when I was 16. And to think that I could have voted at 16 is a scary, scary idea. And yet that's something that Nancy Pelosi is pushing for. The other thing that you're hearing, just the constant chatter, whether it's Cory Booker or Kamala Harris or any of these folks, there's so many. I mean, you know, all of the Democrats who are running for president now, they could not fit in Bush Stadium, I don't think. There's a huge crowd of these folks. But one of the other things that's being discussed is abolishing the Electoral College. Now, this isn't necessarily a new idea. There's been folks who have been advocating to abolish the Electoral College for an extremely long time. Al Gore, excuse me, I'm sorry. I should have hit the cough button. But this is not necessarily a new issue. It's been around, but we're hearing now something that I've never heard before, which is a chorus of opinions from the Democrats running for president, all saying abolish the Electoral College, abolish the Electoral College. So we'll get into that next hour as well. But the other Constitution and election law issue that's come up is increasing the number of justices on the Supreme Court. Now, this is an issue. Unless you're a historian or a legal geek, this may sound like a new issue to you. The first time that I think it really came up as an issue was in the early 1800s, but it became a larger national issue during the FDR administration because he didn't like it that Congress wasn't allowing him to pass the New Deal laws that he wanted to pass. And so when they did pass the laws, the Supreme Court was saying that those laws were unconstitutional. So FDR threatened to expand the Supreme Court so he would get more appointments to the Supreme Court. Well, that's coming up again now because the Democrats are wanting to, I think, dilute the influence of Trump-appointed justices. So really, when you think about it, as I was thinking about these three issues today, this is really what occurred to me. What the Democrats want is to fix the flaws in the Constitution that allow Republicans to get elected. I think that's really what they're doing. They sat down and they said, okay, what about the Constitution allows Republicans to get elected? Let's just fix that because obviously that's a problem. That's a crisis right there. In fact, that's such a crisis, we need to start setting some cars on fire. Now, I don't know that Bernie Sanders could set a car on fire. I don't know how fast he could get away with his walker, you know, from the car if it exploded. So that may not be a good idea for Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden to be doing that. But in any event, that's what it appears. And, you know, the other thought that occurred to me as I was thinking about these particular issues is that I'm expecting this kind of a headline any day now, that a resurrected Karl Marx announces his candidacy for the 2020 election as a Democrat, but Democrats quickly criticize him as being too moderate. That could be a headline, folks. I mean, obviously, Karl Marx isn't going to be showing up anytime soon, but that could easily happen if Karl Marx showed up today. And speaking of the Supreme Court, I mentioned Ruth Bader Ginsburg a few moments ago. You know, she had cancer surgery, and I'm glad that she recovered and she was away from the Supreme Court. She missed, my goodness, many of the oral arguments at the Supreme Court this term because she was recuperating from cancer. But I did hear that when she was asked this week about her ability to continue to serve on the Supreme Court, she allegedly said, and I got this written down, it's a quote, "I feel as sharp as ever, and I see no problem with serving throughout the rest of President Eisenhower's term," unquote. Now, I don't know if she really said that. I just read that, but it may or may not be true. So one of the things we're going to talk about after the top of the hour break when we come back is we're going to get into this issue of autonomous cars because folks are just really nervous about it. We see them everywhere. There's lawsuits being filed. But the question becomes, would you get into a car? Now, here's the problem that I have. I've always been a computer geek. I built my first computer, built lots of computers over the years. Yes, my father-in-law has a collection of pocket protectors and slide rules. So yes, extremely nerdy family. But if you think about a car that operates like your computer, mean, think about it. For no reason whatsoever, your car would probably crash twice a day. Or this is the other thing that occurs to me. If you would drive your car down Highway 40, and then it would just stop for no reason, you'd have to pull over to the side of the road, close all the windows, shut off the car, restart it, reopen the windows, and then the car would restart. I mean, if your car worked like a computer, isn't that one of the things that you would see? Or, you know, if you turn on your left turn signal and the temperature is less than 40 degrees, all of a sudden your car would shut down and restart, and then you'd have to go and reinstall the engine. I mean, those are the kinds of things that would happen if your car worked like a computer. But yet that's really what we're seeing now with these autonomous cars. And I don't see anyone, and I don't hear anyone, and I'm not reading about anyone who's talking about the liability issues and how are we going to handle the liability issues that arise. Because right now, and you heard earlier in this hour, I talked to my friend Mark Cantor, who's a plaintiff's attorney, and he talked about this Jalen Walker case. That's something that we can all understand. Mr. Tomlinson, the alleged shooter, shot Mr. Walker, and a lawsuit was filed alleging that you wrongfully shot me, and therefore you owe me damages. We can wrap our heads around that issue. But what happens if two autonomous cars strike each other? What happens if an autonomous car runs you down as a pedestrian? In the very first ever case that's ever been filed on that issue, it was filed this week in Arizona against both the state of Arizona and the city of Tempe. And so I want to look at some of those particular issues of technology from a legal liability perspective, because we're doing like the line in Jurassic Park, where Jeff Goldblum said, we spent so much time figuring out if we could that we never stopped to figure out if we should. And that's really where we are with autonomous cars when it comes to a liability perspective. I'm Brad Young. I'm glad you're with us and sitting in this evening. Again, I'm an attorney here in St. Louis, my law firm, Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young. I'm glad you're with us this evening on KMOX on Overnight America. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.